And now a reading, Psalm 46. It'll be displayed on the screen, so please feel free to read along or just listen and reflect. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountain shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Jezebel was an evil queen. The prophet Elijah was her strongest enemy. In today's reading, Elijah is running from Jezebel because she has vowed to kill him. While Elijah was under a broom tree, he felt exhausted and wanted to die. He fell asleep. An angel awoke him and told him to eat and drink because he had a long journey ahead of him. On the strength of that food, Elijah walked 40 days and nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9b through 13. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
I'm reading from Matthew chapter 10. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus; and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Sire, and I want to share a few thoughts about my time in Disciple 1, becoming disciples through Bible study. First, I'd like to thank Don Burgard and Eric Sayers for their dedication to our group. I thank them for being our teachers, our cheerleaders, and even at times our referees. These ideas from Disciple struck me when I thought about it at the completion of the study. These ideas include the people, listening, and thanksgiving. The people, from Matthew 10, 1 through 4, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority. Just as Jesus called a tax collector, a doctor, fishermen to be his disciples, he called 21 plus people to form the 2020-2021 disciple group. We came with differences in personalities, faith backgrounds, faith walks, and Bible knowledge. What we had in common was the desire to study and discuss God's Word. We discovered how much God loves us, and through Him, how much we are to love one another. Though we never met in person, and many of us had never met in person until today, we grew close through Zoom. Through the study and each other, we got glimpses of what He might be calling each of us to do for Him. We learned that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those He calls. Listening, from 1 Kings 19:11 through 13, and after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. I often think the only way that I'll hear God speak to me is that He'll yell in my ear, making Himself obviously present. But that's not God's way. He often whispers to get our attention in order to hear Him. And in order to hear Him, I have to listen. Listening isn't easy for me. And quiet times in a group are especially difficult for me. Disciple taught me I learn more when I am quiet and listen. Many pearls of wisdom came from the members of this wonderful group. When I listened, I learned much from and about the others, their joys, their struggles, their sorrows, and their hearts for the Lord. Sometimes all we want is an ear and an open heart to listen to us. Quiet times are good. Listening is often better than speaking. Thanksgiving. From 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? This verse was an aha moment for me. Disciple reminded me that I have nothing that God hasn't provided me, including His gift of these 21 Christian people. We went from being strangers in many cases to becoming brothers and sisters in Christ. I am thankful for the weekly sharing in our large and small groups, sharing that gave me a deeper understanding about and love for God. Our God is truly an awesome God. Thank you.
Good morning, Glenmore. My name is Dawn Shonet, and I was not able to attend today as I am currently serving in missions in Santa Maria de Jesus, Guatemala. As I began this disciple study, I wanted to grow in my faith and build a deeper personal relationship with God, as well as serve His people. This study gave me a clearer understanding of the Old Testament prophecy, and I was able to see it come to fruition in the New Testament. One thing that resonated with me was serving and helping the least, the last, and the lost. Who really are they? They could be orphans, tax collectors, widows, the poor, or possibly ordinary people. We tend to look the other way, thinking someone else will help them. We could be the only hope they have. Pause and let the Holy Spirit guide you in all situations. Jesus is the only judge. We are His servants. Proverbs 3:6 says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." As a disciple, we need to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, as well as how much God loves us and wants to be in relationship with Him. We are called to feed the hungry, to help the poor, and to spread the gospel. We never know who is lost and seeking God. A smile or a hi, how are you, could open the door for us to speak to the person about how life-changing Jesus Christ can be. Everyone's situation is different and requires different solutions. If we plant the seed, God will water it, resulting in repentance and salvation. Do we feed the beggar on the street? Do we provide shelter for the homeless? Do we help the needy or elderly? Or do we look the other way? I admit I have been guilty of looking the other way. After taking this study, my viewpoint has changed. I have seen firsthand some of the least, the last, and the lost. I was once a very lost soul, and thanks be to God, my Aunt Nell witnessed continually to me. A very dear friend of mine invited me to attend a Maundy Thursday service at Glenmore. The pastor was Matt Poole, and the service was titled Betrayed. It was through that service I realized just how lost I was. I was in desperate need of a Savior. Very shortly after that service, I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ. For the people who have encouraged and supported me along this journey, I say thank you. I had been feeling a tug by God to go into missions, which was way out of my comfort zone. I was at a Sunday evening service when I received God's call to serve in the Dominican Republic. So clearly, I heard God say, "Go and serve my people." It was overwhelming to see the below poverty conditions the Dominicans lived in. I served in the Dominican Republic for 2 years. God again called me to serve in Santa Maria de Jesus, Guatemala, which is where I am currently serving. I thought the conditions in the Dominican Republic was bad, but it was much worse in Santa Maria de Jesus. We are so blessed to live in a country with so many resources to help those in need and have clean water to drink. As I serve the least, the last, and the lost in such horrible conditions, you can still see God's light shining so bright. Steps of Hope is an education center that gives the children of Santa Maria de Jesus hope for their future. The center provides a nutritious meal every day for the students, provides clothing as well as medical, dental, and vision needs. Steps of Hope teaches reading, writing, and math. But most importantly, the center is teaching them about Jesus Christ and how much he loves them. They are now learning and memorizing Bible verses. Even in desperate times, a smile gives them hope knowing that someone cares for them. My last time there in February 2020, a woman in Santa Maria stopped and asked me not to forget about her. I hugged her and assured her that I would not. I am blessed beyond measure to be a part of Steps of Hope and serving God's people in Santa Maria de Jesus. God continues to work in and through me at Steps of Hope. Most recently, I have been added to the board at Steps of Hope, and I will be assisting in preparing for mission teams in 2022. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us remember to give hope to the hopeless, to help the least, the last, and the lost, and to show the love of Jesus Christ in all we do and say. Amen.
Dealing with people seems pretty complex sometimes. I mean, look at the size of this instruction manual. We each have our own fears, desires, neuroses, aversions, diversions, and when we interact with each other, they multiply. And God recognizes it. You know how many times he calls us hard-headed in this book? 18. He calls it stiff-necked, but same thing. That's one of the fun things about a small group. You get to read instructions on how to live life, and then you get to sit across from each other and discuss your thoughts and feelings about those instructions with people that don't think and feel the same way you do about those instructions. It seems even harder when you read things like 1 Corinthians 5:11 or Luke 16:9. So 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, "But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, someone who does looks at idols and worships them, or a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler, drunkard be me, and do not even eat with such people." That's pretty harsh. Then in Luke 16:9, it says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Wait, what? So I'm supposed to use my wealth, but shun myself for doing it. But that's right when someone in the small group speaks up and says, "Well, in 1 Corinthians, wasn't Paul talking to a baby church that didn't know the backside of a Bible from sin on Sunday?" And someone else pipes in and says, "Yeah, and in Luke, Jesus is teaching his 12 disciples to manage money. You wouldn't want to teach a baby church to use a credit card, would you? You'd want it to grow a little first." And you suddenly realize that you're glad there was someone that knew how to multiply two and two together, not add, and you realize you're kind of happy they don't think and feel the same way you do about the Bible. You only hope that you can bring as much understanding and grace to the table next time. See, I understand that dealing with people can be hard. I don't feel like dealing with myself, and I'm with me all the time. But in the words of Snow Patrol, I need your grace to remind me to find my own. Amen.